the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's only two kinds of sinners in the whole world. Only two. There's those who recognize their sinfulness, and those who don't. Those who recognize their sin are convicted of that sin, are sorry for their sin, confess their sin. Those who don't recognize it or acknowledge it, they tend to be smug, self-righteous, judgmental of others. Those who recognize their sin recognize Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Those who don't recognize their sin don't recognize Jesus at all and wonder, who is this? Who does he think he is to forgive sins? God's desire for every one of us is that we recognize our sin and so recognize our Savior and trust in him for our forgiveness. Those who recognize their sin are eager to hear that forgiveness. Those who don't recognize their sin don't think they have any use for forgiveness. Both are sinners, and Christ died for both kinds of sinners. The religious Pharisees, like the one in our text today, accused Jesus of eating with sinners, something they certainly would never do. For they truly believed that because they followed the outward works of the law, that they were without sin. And quite ironically, one of the Pharisees called Simon invites Jesus to dinner at his house. And it's kind of funny because you see, Jesus, who's accused of eating with sinners, well, he decides, I'm not going to discriminate. He says, I'll even eat with pious, religious Pharisee sinners too. And so he does. And while they're eating, a woman of the city, a woman who was a very well-known sinner, thought to be a prostitute, she comes to the table. And this was a common practice in the day, as the well-known people of the city would eat. You know, there wasn't TV, there wasn't internet. Their entertainment was listening to well-read and well-educated people. And so they would gather around the outsides of the table to listen to the dinner conversation. But this woman comes in, and she kind of interjects herself into the whole thing. She's weeping. She bends down at Jesus' feet, and her tears begin to drip on them because she knows what she's in the presence of. She opens an expensive bottle of scented oil and rubs it on Jesus' feet. She lets down her hair, something no decent woman would ever do in those days. And she dries Jesus' feet with her hair. It had to have been a very awkward moment, to say the least, as a table of judgmental religious men stares down hard at her. If they could have picked up stones to throw at this sinner, they probably would have. How dare she behave in this way? Who does she think she is? Doing this in front of everyone. This sinner, this tramp. And Simon is thinking to himself, hey, if this guy was any sort of prophet, any sort of man of God, he'd know what sort of woman was touching him and would put a stop to it immediately. Simon, I have something to say to you. Say it, teacher. When Jesus says those kinds of words to you, when he prepares you for what he's about to say, you should probably beware a little bit. Because usually you are the target of the story. It's likely that you're about to be told something that might not be too pleasant, but might be necessary for you to hear. And that's exactly what happened here. It's also exactly what happened in our Old Testament lesson with the familiar story of David and Bathsheba. It's a very common, well-known story. David committed adultery and murder. He had Uriah the Hittite murdered because he had slept with his wife Bathsheba. She got pregnant. He did all of these things to try to get away with it, and he thought he had. In front of mankind, he may well have gotten away with it, but there is nowhere to hide from God. And just as Jesus does in our gospel lesson, the prophet Nathan uses a parable to show David his sin. He tells him that familiar story. The story of the rich man with many lambs and the poor man who had one little ewe lamb that he loved as a pet. And the rich man took that little lamb and barbecued it for his friends. Nathan has set the trap with that parable, and David walks right into it. David is angry. That rich man deserves to die for his sin. I can't believe someone would do that. And David has never spoken truer words. The man did deserve to die for his sin. But Nathan then springs the trap. David, you are the man. With those words, David's sin is exposed. David confesses in the conviction of his sin, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan, instead of hammering him, absolves him. The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. This is how sin and grace works. This is how law and gospel works. This is how Jesus and His salvation works. And it's how Jesus dealt with Simon the Pharisee in our text. A certain moneylender had two people who owed him money. One owed 500 denarii and the other only 50. The moneylender forgave them both because they could not pay it back. Who would love him more? Jesus asked Simon. And just like it was for David, the trap was set. Simon the Pharisee walks straight into it. I suppose the one for whom the larger debt was canceled. Good, says Jesus. Do you see this woman? The one wiping my feet with her hair? She loves much because she has been forgiven much. And what about you, Simon? You didn't welcome me with a kiss of friendship. You didn't give me any oil to anoint me. You gave me no water to wash my feet. You couldn't care less about me, could you, Simon? Because you think you have it all figured out on your own. You don't think you need to be forgiven. He who is forgiven little loves little. The woman is forgiven. Jesus tells her so very clearly in front of the Pharisees. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. So what about Simon and his friends then? Are they forgiven? Did Jesus Christ die on the cross for them? You see, for every adulterous act this woman did in her life, these men at the table had done the same with her probably, or another in their hearts. In the end, who is the 500 denarii sinner and who is the 50 denarii sinner? We all like to assume, well, the woman is the 500 denarii sinner and the Pharisees are the 50 denarii sinner. They really don't have much to be forgiven for, but they still need to be forgiven. The Pharisee loves little, not because God has forgiven him any less, but because he hasn't even recognized his need for that forgiveness. I mean, after all, what does he need that much forgiveness for? He tithes, he fasts, he worships, he brings the sacrifices, he keeps the Torah. Forgiveness is for her type, right? Like the woman at Jesus' feet, only she really needs it. And that's the problem of the Pharisee. The problem of the self-righteous. Then, now, for all time. We all have 500 denarii worth of sin, whether we recognize it or not. We are all the 500 denarii sinner. Some of us only think we owe 50, though. We forget how much we owe Jesus. So much that we, like the debtors in the parable, can't ever pay it back, no matter how much it is. So which would you rather be? The religious Pharisee or the weeping woman at his feet? Both are guilty under God's law. Both are sinners in need of forgiveness. Both are included in the payment for sins made by Jesus Christ at the cross. But one of them recognizes her sin, falls weeping at the feet of Jesus, and receives the forgiveness that he freely offers. While the other sits in judgment of their fellow sinners and denying his even need for a Savior. The psalmist writes, "A broken and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not despise." And that's the purpose of God's law. Not just to give us rules to follow, but to break us into little pieces, crush our hearts in sorrow for our sins, and show us how deeply and desperately we need Jesus Christ to save us. Our pride, our ego, our judgments on others must be smashed upon the rocks. You are whom God's law has been proclaimed. Not them. You. You are the one. You are the thief, the liar, the adulterer, the murderer, the idolater. What you scoff at in others is at work in you. What you judge in others, you do also. Perhaps we like to think we're more polite about it or more religiously respectable, but to God, who looks at the depth of our sinful hearts, there's no difference between the hooker and the Pharisee. What distinguishes the woman weeping at Jesus' feet is faith. Repentant, trusting faith in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. She believes what the Word of God tells her about her sin. The thought that she's a sinner separated from God troubles her and gives her no rest. She feels it in the stares of those Pharisees. She hears it in God's law and His commandments, that she knows she's broken. She knows what she is. She trusts Jesus, though. She trusts her with her broken, miserable, sinful life. She trusts Jesus with her tears, with her devotion, and with her life. She dries Jesus' feet, knowing that He will not kick her away with them. She hears the words she knows are true, and she longs to hear over and over again, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." She loved Jesus much, because she had been forgiven much. And how often have we played the part of those Pharisees where we look down on others and their sin and perhaps even kick them for good measure? How often do we resent their tears of repentance if we think someone else's sin is so much greater than ours? If they truly love Jesus, they never would have done that stuff in the first place. We point the accusing finger at the sinners out there and fail to recognize the sin in our own hearts. If we don't see ourselves as sinners, just as bad as anyone else out there, then we have no use for the one who ate with sinners, for Jesus Christ. If we don't see ourselves as sinners, we don't even try to seek His forgiveness, nor do we humble ourselves at His feet. The most powerful man Israel ever saw, David, had to be humbled and brought to his knees. The proud Pharisee must be brought to the knowledge of his sin. The eye that looks down in judgment upon others must be filled with tears, recognizing our sin. The hardened heart must be broken so that we can see our forgiveness. And the good news is that Jesus is a friend of sinners, like you and me. He welcomes sinners to His table. He forgives sinners. He died for sinners. He paid a debt we cannot pay. The sin of David has been answered by the death of David's son on the cross. God loves the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came not to condemn sinners, but to save them. You are forgiven. Jesus has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.